Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here in such a time like this. I know we're still virtually here and we're able to speak to you all in this way, but it's still a pleasure to be able to speak to you all from the heart, from what God has given me to you all to share. Before we start, I just want to have a quick word of prayer so we can just allow God to continue to be with us in this evening. God in heaven, Lord, we just thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your guidance, Lord. We thank you for your love. We just ask, Lord, that you be with us today. Speak through me, Lord. Allow for them to hear a word directly from you. Guide us to protect us. We love you and thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. The title of my sermon today is, Does God Care to Listen? Does God actually really care to listen? You see, right now in life, there's so many things that have drastically changed every single day. I mean, if you listen to the news, if you go on social media, if you go on any platform right now, you're going to see something has changed in the world. Some catastrophic event, some newsworthy event will come on to your phone, to your TV, or to your iPad. But there's been so much just in the first half of 2020. I mean, it's been nothing shy of chaotic, nothing shy of eventful, nothing shy of liberating, nothing shy of scary, even tearful or exciting. I mean, there's so many emotions right now that we're seeing. 2020 has been such a year of events. I mean, let me break it down for you just real quick so you can see what I'm talking about. The year started off with fires in Australia. Then we have the impeachment trials of Donald Trump. We have coronavirus that starts breaking out around the world. Kobe Bryant and his daughter die in a helicopter accident. Italy officially shuts down the country. COVID cancels spring and summer of 2020. The stock market crashes. Black Lives Matter movements around the world are happening. Never seen before like this. There are peaceful protests about police brutality while police are using police brutality to stop the peaceful protests. There are black people being hung across the country and incidences of quote-unquote suicides. Places are being reopened due to COVID, but yet now those same places are seeing rises and spikes. Again, this is just a bit of what happened in 2020, not even every event. But so far this year has been so catastrophic, so much happening. I sometimes wonder if people are asking themselves the question, is God really listening to what's going on? I know some of you may have seen the movie 2012, but I know when the movie 2020 comes out, it's going to be very, very exciting. But so much is happening back and forth, back and forth. Some of us can't really breathe. Some of us can't really think. Some of us are looking at everything that is going on, and it's hard for them to just take a moment to themselves. One thing happening after another. It's like our minds are constantly being wrapped around and trying to just take care of the first thing that happened, this first major event. But then once we finally are able to get our grasp on that, something else happens later. When does this end? I mean, you have people who are going crazy over prophetic thinkings and trying to figure out, is this conspiracy theory? Is this biblical accounts to Daniel and Revelation? You have individuals in the church who are going so far left and so far right in politics instead of just staying forward and thinking narrow on the path of Christ. There's just so much going on. You ask yourself, is God listening? Does he care to listen at all? Can I just sit still for a bit? Can I just understand what's really happening in this world? Some of us are choosing, even in the midst of all that's happening, to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to ignore it. Maybe try to put my life into certain things that might be able to get me just to focus in on myself. I mean, I know I've even asked a lot of young people, what are you doing in this time? You know, what have you been trying to get your mind wrapped around? Some people just jump into Netflix. Some people jump into video games, movies, maybe even doing work a lot more. Some projects, some new hobbies. Some finally finding time for old hobbies. Trying to fill space where it is, there seems like there's so much space to do new things now and so much time to be able to do, but still finding yourself pressured with the things around this world. And I know you might be asking yourself today, with everything that's going on, with my mind that might still be just foggy and there's so much that's happening around me, does God really care about the issues in this world? And is he specifically even willing to listen to me? I want you to open up your Bibles. It's one of my favorite prophets, if not my favorite prophet. It's Elijah. Open up your Bibles to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. And before we continue, I'm just gonna put it out there. There's some important concepts that I just want to get through real quick. I just want you to see where I'm going with this. I'm gonna talk a little bit about my personal experience, and then we're gonna be done with this evening. Okay? It's not gonna be too long, but I just want you guys to just follow with me here, pay attention, and just get through. We'll be right there. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Bible says, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be no dew nor rain these years except by my word. Now I know you're probably just listening to this and you're hearing the prophet Elijah just coming on and just saying there's not going to be any rain or water in Israel. But this is like a drop mic moment. This is the first time that Elijah's even being presented in the Bible at all. This is his first mentioning of the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Now realize with me also that King Ahab is the worst, most vile king in all of Israel that has ever lived so far. I mean, the Bible even says that King Ahab did more to provoke the Lord of Israel to anger than all of the kings of Israel combined. All of them combined. So you take all of the bad kings and you just put them in one person. That's King Ahab. And so Elijah comes into the picture and he shows himself and makes this strong proclamation, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Boom. That's the first scene that we hear about the prophet Elijah. Comes out of nowhere and just tells it as it is. The introduction to Elijah, I think, is one of the greatest. But I want us to see something here. I just want you to follow along with this. The life of Elijah is so eventful. So eventful. There's always something going on. I'm not going to go verse by verse, but I'm going to go story by story here, okay? We're going to look at a trend of Elijah's life. Look at event number one. Event number one, Elijah's story starts with a bang, right? His words, he brings a drought to Israel by the power of God. So Elijah then hears from God to go from east to preserve his life. And God says he'll provide Elijah water, food, from the ravens. So you got your first event, you come into the worst king of Israel, and boom, you leave such a remarkable statement. Event number two, Elijah is being fed by birds. I don't know about you, but I grew up in New York, and there's a lot of times I would feed birds. I see people feeding birds. I remember even watching Home Alone, where you had the bird lady who was feeding little birds, and she was a little scary, right? I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but there's so many times I've seen people feeding birds, but I've never seen a bird feeding someone. That to me is something completely miraculous. And so Elijah is being fed by birds. And we're seeing more and more how God is just revealing events, revealing miracles in his life. And so ravens are now feeding Elijah. That's event number two. Event number three, Elijah's story just keeps going. He's told to go to a Phoenician town, where they don't believe in God, and he'll meet a woman who he needs to stay with. And this woman who has no food, nothing left, the very last of her bit of flour and oil she was going to use for her and her child, and they were going to die. That's what the Bible says. She was ready to die. And so he comes and says, listen, man, if you take care of me, the Lord God will take care of you. She listens by faith. And the Bible says that God provided her an overflow of flour and of oil for all the rest of the droughts and the famines. So this woman who was able to pronounce her faith was able to be blessed tremendously. And remind yourself now, Elijah is seeing all of these things, major events. The same woman loses her son. Event number four, loses her son. And Elijah prays over this body, probably crying and wailing, pleading for God, just please revive this boy. And for the first time in the history of what we see in our Bibles, we see a revival. We see a resurrection. Elijah was a part of the first revival, the first resurrection of a human being. Just constant events after events. There's no stopping. There's just major productions, made either chaos or miracles constantly happening in his life. Event number five, one of the most momentous occasions that we know about Elijah, the fact that he comes in and now Elijah against 450 Baal prophets stands in against all of them and calls fire from heaven. Fire from heaven. And if you want to look at the last event, Elijah then kills all those Baal prophets and God restores water to Israel and the drought is done. We constantly see Elijah who's a part of so much, event after event, a miracle after miracle, situation after situation, and he's reacting, he's praying, he's just constantly in this place of seeing powerful things happening, miraculous things, poverty in front of his life, but there's a constant motion that's going on. There's nothing that's really, you don't really see too many breaks in his story. But I love the story of Elijah because not only is it so explosive, not only do we see one of the greatest miracles ever in his story, but we see so much authenticity and we see a lot of real deepness in this story as well. Elijah, after all these high mountaintop experiences, both figuratively and literally, comes to face Jezebel, and her messengers send Elijah message, and basically they say, hey, listen, if you're alive tomorrow, you're gonna die. And so the same man, Elijah, who's been going through so much in his life, he gets to a point where enough became enough. So many mountaintop experiences, so many different types of momentous occasions. There's sometimes when you get so high that you end up dropping so low. And Elijah dropped low. The Bible says that he called to God. And he made a prayer requesting that he would die. And he said to God, enough. Actually, he says, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. It is enough. It's enough. I don't know where you are today. I don't know how many young people today or right now are looking at the world and probably saying to themselves, it's enough. But I've heard that many times from so many young people who have said, I'm tired, it's enough. I had a phone call with a young person one time, sitting there for hours because they thought it was enough. Elijah was there. He said, it's enough. I too personally have said to God, man, after I lost my daughter, the pain, the agony of that moment where everything was so dark and so bleak, I felt like it was enough. Wondered if God cared enough to listen to a broken man. But then you sit back and you look at how God answers Elijah. I'm going to show you just real quick. I'll just paint a picture. I want us to look at God here. Remember, Elijah didn't pray a simple prayer. He prayed that God will take away his life. The same man who prayed for the drought to stop, to end and to begin and to stop. The same man who saw God feed him ravens. The same man who listened to God and saw jars full of flour and oil. The same man who prayed to revive a son. The same man who prayed for fire to come down from heaven. He prayed a prayer of death. And he knew in his mind that prayer is powerful, and he truly believed that God was going to answer this prayer. And I'm so thankful to God that God cares more about our needs than just being commanded by us. He saw the true depth of his heart and said, I'm going to deal with the real issues, the root of the issues, than to just react to what is being said. And God answered Elijah so many times in the affirmative, but this time God said no. And I'm glad he did. Look at how God takes care of this. Look how he takes care of this whole situation. If you look at Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19, we start seeing that God allows Elijah to sleep. He allows him to rest. He then starts sending angels to wake him up, and he feeds Elijah. And it's so crazy because the food and the water was already prepared. He gets even more rest, and then the angels feed him again. And then God sends Elijah on a journey for 40 days, and basically where Elijah is able to get a lot more exercise in his body. And God tells him again to go to the mountains of Horeb, or the Mount of God. And for all you New Start fans out there, you'll probably love this, because what God basically did was God blessed Elijah with nutrition. He blessed him with exercise. He blessed him with water. He blessed him with the sunshine. He took away anything that would tempt him and temperance. And from everything, he started blessing him with air and rest. And we started seeing that God literally was healing Elijah. He was caring for his mental health as much as his spiritual, emotional, physical, and took care of all. Instead of accepting his request to end his life, God actually renews his life and gives Elijah a brand new start. But there's more, because at the end it says trust in God, right? The last one is trust in God. And God comes to Elijah. This is one of the most beautiful pictures I've seen. God comes to Elijah and he tells Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing? And after God asks him, what are you doing? Elijah starts pouring his heart. Starts pouring his heart out to God. Starts telling him, God, man, I've been zealous. I've worked for your kingdom, God. Israel has abandoned you, but I'm still here alone. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm broken. I feel attacked. I need you. Can't you help me, God? Are you even listening to what's going on? How many of us have cried out to God like this? How many of us have had heartaches crying out to God, trying to figure out this whole thing about life, pleading to God? There's some of us who have been pleading to God in the midst of COVID, who have lost family and can't even get to their family's funerals. Who have been in situations where they've lost loved ones, who have been in situations right now where they can't even fathom the fact that they've lost someone so close but can't even be close to them. You have individuals in the world right now who are still dealing with systems of oppression, of racism, and they're asking God, how long is enough? Because I've got enough. And we see so many people through pains and through pains trying to navigate their lives through everything that's going on, and they're asking themselves the question, God, are you there? Are you listening? I'm pouring myself out to you. And God starts taking care of the situation. God pulls Elijah. He puts him on a mountaintop experience again. Puts him up there. The Bible says that a strong wind passed through. And it tore through the mountains. And it broke rocks. The power that was there. But the Bible says the Lord wasn't there. And then another earthquake comes and destroys around, breaks the house down, but the Lord wasn't there. And then fire comes down again from heaven, but the Lord wasn't there. Major events, major experiences, miracles, major events, events after events, things that are noisy, things that are chaotic, catastrophic. There's just so much filling our minds, filling our hearts. There's not enough time for us to figure out what's going on because there's just so much noise. But then the Bible says, Elijah hears a small voice. And the Lord came talking to Elijah. He came to talk to Elijah. He didn't use the fire. He didn't use the mountains. He didn't use the strong winds. He didn't use the catastrophic events. He didn't use the miraculous events. He didn't use so much that we would think that God would try. He came to have a conversation with Elijah, to hear Elijah's heart. It's just so beautiful and simple. God came down to Elijah's level and had a conversation with Elijah in order to hear him, in order to hear his pain, to understand his struggle, to hear his anguishing heart. God didn't scold him for praying that prayer. In fact, he comforts Elijah. How many of us always think that God is ready to punish us while God just wants to comfort us? There's an intimacy in conversation. You're looking at the person. You hear them out. You're able to have your attention on this individual. You're focused in. You listen all your attention, your body language is on this person in order to express their hearts. You can play basketball with people. You can go to the amusement parks with people. You can go to the movies with people. You can do community projects with people. But the most important thing to get to know someone is to have a simple conversation, to hear their hearts, to hear the depth of what's going on within their hearts, to understand their struggles, to understand their triumphs, to understand their mission. Have a conversation. God came down and conversed with Elijah. And to converse with someone means that I'm willing to listen to you in the midst of all you're going through. I'll tell you this, one of the darkest moments of my life, after my daughter had passed away, I found myself deciding I'm just going to get busy. And I was a school principal at the time, and I kept working, I kept working, I kept dealing with my students and getting more projects done for the school and trying to do so that my heart didn't have time to think about what was going on in the world. And I started just doing and doing and taking care, and I was trying to allow for my life to be eventful so I didn't have the time to process everything that happened. And I just kept going and going and going until I had nothing to do but sit. My wife left to go to a friend's wedding for a week. School was done, summer vacation, and I found myself at home alone. So much went through my mind. Tears breaking down, just sitting on my couch. points of time where I just, like Elijah said, I just got enough, God. I don't want to live anymore. And I heard as clear as day, I heard God's voice said, I'm here. I'm here for you. I started thinking. Even in the midst of everything that I'm going through, God is willing to speak to me. While everything else in the world is happening, God is still willing to speak to me because he cares enough just for me, just for you, just for every single person in this world. It was a tough time, but at the end of the day, I was able to know that God has never abandoned me. He never let me go. And I know some of you right now are going through the midst of COVID, going through what seems like pandemic throughout the world, have gone through personal loss yourselves, have gone through personal issues throughout the world, and you might be asking yourself, what can I do? Is God really still listening to me? I just want you to know that Jesus came down from heaven to have a conversation with all of his people. He came down in the midst of all the distractions, in the midst of all the noise, in the midst of everything that is happening, and he came just for you. And I hear God telling me today, sometimes we have to just be still and know that he is God. Be still and listen to what he has to say. He took Elijah away from all the chaos, all the events, all that was happening. He pulled him away. He said, just be still. Just be still. Listen to me so I can listen to you. I think right now one of the greatest things we can do is to spend that personal time with God. It's not to ignore the effects that are happening around the world. It's not to say forget about what's happening, but it's to say that I'm willing to have time of true one-on-one time with God. Even in the midst of what's going on in the world, no matter how great or how grand or how chaotic or how beautiful it is, God is looking for some one-on-one time with you. Be still. I know some of us try to fill that space, try to fill space with other things, with events, try to fill space with your Netflix, try to fill space with your own thoughts, but God is trying to have a conversation because he's trying to bring you somewhere that you've never even thought you could be in your life. But until you're willing to open up that word, until you're willing to dig deep, until you're willing to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to try to listen to what God has to say for my life. I'm going to search the word as for hidden treasure. I'm going to pray and be on my knees and spend time with God. We won't be able to listen to him. God is just asking you to be still and listen. Let's have a conversation, just you and me. I would encourage you today, in the midst of all that's going on in this world, don't shut yourself out. Don't close your ears. Don't be ignorant to what's happening in the world. But even in the midst, I would encourage you to be still. Spend some time with God. Spend some renewed starts with God. Communicating with God. Reading, praying. Just spending time with the God who would take all of his time and his life just for you. My prayer is that God does speak to you the way that you need to hear him, and that he opens his heart and his life and that you're able to open your heart to him every single day. Because until we have that connection, until we start having those deep conversations with God, having those experiences away from the mountaintops like Elijah needed, sometimes we might not be able to hear some of the most important things in this world. So be still, because God wants to have that conversation with you today. And you never know. He might tell you something that can truly change your life forever. Dear God in heaven, Lord, be with these young people this evening. Work in their hearts, Lord. Allow for them to take away the noise, the chaos, the distractions that are moving them away from a deeper connection, a deeper walk with you. Open their hearts, God. Allow for them to have that conversation with God in heaven. We love you. We thank you. Help us to just be still and to hear a word directly from you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.